Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. Fury music.
That's yeah, right. You gotta get rid of this trash.
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Dr. John Stamey subbing in for the Dave Atwell dude who normally hosts this marvelous podcast. And this is Pop Culture Stars. We're glad to have everybody here. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. We got a couple of good panelists and we got another one coming on. He had a family thing that he had to go do, but he'll be back with us. And so tonight from Arkansas, the one and only Granny Hulkster. How are you doing, Granny?
Well, I'm doing well, Dr. John. It's been a long time since I've spoken to you. A lot has been taking place, but I'm good. You know, things are good. My family's all good. And, you know, I just took my son to see the new Transformers movie this afternoon, and I just dropped him off back at his new place that he's been at for the past 3 months, and he's doing well. You know, him and Mysterio are doing quite well. So,
well, that's great. We're glad to hear that. And
I went to see the live Little Mermaid movie in 3D, and that was really good too. So I had a couple hours I needed to kill, and I didn't really want to see Transformers, so I would see Little Mermaid.
Well, that's good. So that gets a two thumbs up for you, right?
Yep, it sure does.
Well, that's great. And from one of the outermost reaches of our galaxy, Todd Saxon. How are you doing tonight, Todd?
I'm outstanding, the supernatural, and ecstatic to be here.
We're glad to have you.
Change of locale and trying to get settled back in.
Okay, well, that's great. And from another outermost reach of our galaxy, Tim is here. How are you doing tonight, Tim?
I'm doing wonderful. Currently, I'm out in the field, quote, unquote. I'm trying to pick up my daughter, so I'm probably going to go in and out, and I apologize for that, but I'm looking forward to an awesome show tonight.
Well, it's going to be fun. It's going to kind of be like a call-in by our Pop Culture Star, and I'm going to start out with a story that came from today. Dr. Brad Mulder and I did a special steering cast, and we had as our guest Mark Sargent of the Flat Earth Society. And I'll tell you what, Mark was very on point today with his opinion regarding the flat earth, so you can say what you think. But here's one that is really interesting, and I find it worth speaking about. He said that it is the belief of the flat earth people that the entire moon landings were staged inside of a studio. But he does have a little bit of interesting argument about this thing. Number one, he said that if you look at the spacesuits that they wore outside on the moon, they wouldn't protect you from the 200-degree heat or the negative 200-degree freezing cold. And he said that backpack that they wore wasn't big enough to house any of the equipment that would be necessary to protect you from the cold. and from the heat. And he might have an argument there because he's done a little bit of research into that. Now,
I understand the Flat Earth Society is pretty big. I mean, my understanding is they've got members all around the globe.
Well, they do, and they're having their international conference, which is called Flattober, the October 21st and 22nd. And they really are. They're actually growing. And I think that I came up with an interesting argument. And let me tell you the argument. Do you all know about Schrodinger's cat? Do you know the idea? It has to do with the fact that an electron is a particle and a wave at the same time. It just depends on how you measure it. If you measure it to be a particle, it's a particle. If you measure it to be a wave, it's a wave. It's two different things at the same time. It's also called the double slit experiment. And I said, you know what? What's interesting, Mark, is you've got a lot of arguments for the flat earth, but you also notice there are some problems with your arguments. But then there are arguments for a globe or spherical earth, but there are some, believe it or not, there are some problems with those arguments. And I said, well, what I really think is that it's a sphere. The earth is a sphere and the earth is flat at the same time. It just depends on what you want to prove. And there was a hush fell over the pool room, and they said, you know what, that might be the case because we can prove one way and then other people can prove the other way. So I said, well, you know, it is interesting. There are times in this universe when something can be two different things, like an electron can be a particle and a wave. So, I mean, that's what we got there, and I think it's kind of interesting. So that was what came out of it. It was really good, and you can go to scarecastpodcast.com and listen to everything. I think it's pretty good on the podcast. It really was. I was very proud of it. And so, I mean, he did a good job. Mark Sargent did a great job, and he's become very popular. He's produced, I think, 3 Netflix documentaries on the Flat Earth. So, I mean, it's not like he isn't a fairly well-known television producer. And it's always fun to have him. All I got to say is whenever I call him, he answers his phone. It's very kind of him. You know, some people, as they get famous, they want to ignore you, Mark. Mark's just always glad to talk to people, and I appreciate him being on this extra special Scarycast. It was a lot of fun, and he did a great job explaining a lot of this stuff. So, I mean, you know, it's just some interesting thought. So that's what we had, and it really was a lot of fun. So just take a listen to scarycastpodcast.com. It's the top podcast on there right now, so just go listen to it if you can. So that's what I have. Now, I'm going to ask each one of our pop culture star panelists to tell us something interesting that they know of, and we'll talk about it. And I want to go first with the wonderful Granny. Granny, what's been interesting in your life in the last week, be it wrestling or your family or whatever? Tell us about that.
Well, you know, like I said, you know, I had a wrestling show the 3rd of June. I had one this past Saturday, and I've got one in Tulsa, a 2-day event in Tulsa, Saturday and Sunday. So I'm going to be really busy helping with that, like always. But I got to share, you know, like I said, back in May, we took Anthony to WFC for Fandetta. Now, that's where the fans get to be in charge of, they get to vote on what kind of matches are going to take place that night. Well, this was the first WFC show that Anthony had been to since he moved back in March to his new apartment at Holiday Island, Arkansas, over by Eureka Springs. So he's lost, like, almost 15 pounds. He's eating better, sleeping better. He doesn't have the anxiety like he'd been having. And one of my very good friends, Diana Dobbs, I sent her a couple pictures, and she printed them off. One picture was of Anthony and Alex Royal and JD, and they both autographed it. She had it in a really nice picture frame for him. Then the other one was of him just holding a championship wrestling belt at another wrestling show. She got all the wrestlers to autograph that as well, had it in a beautiful picture frame. I mean, they gave him a special shout-out. He donated a bunch of items that he had for silent auction items. They raffled off, or they auctioned off, four autographed. One was an autographed poster of Arn Anderson, and one was an autographed picture of Abyss, and then he had two autographed pictures of Road Warrior Animal. And so they auctioned those off. But I tell you, all the wrestlers, all my wrestling family could not get over how good Anthony looked and how happy he looked. I mean, you know, I had been fighting the system for the past 3 years, Dr. John. You all know the struggles that I dealt with, that I was dealing with trying to get him the help that he needed. I mean, he gets 3 meals a day. He has his own little studio apartment. He got to keep his dog. But even if he'd been in the main facility, he still would have got to keep Mysterio with him. But he'll call us and he'll say, oh, I had chicken fried steak for supper tonight. Or I had shrimp scampi. Or I had country style ribs. And I said, dude, I said, you're eating better than I am. And David says, when can we move in? And he says, sorry, Dad, you can't because you don't have that pass thing like I do. And I told him, I said, Anthony, I said, you know, Mom's disabled. I said, I can get Arkansas Medicaid, and I can move upstairs and live with the old people. I said, you're eating better than we are. You know, and he'll just laugh about it. He'll think it's so funny, and he'll say, oh, it sounds like somebody's a little jealous, you know. But, no, this was the best move for him. And, you know, he lost. Several years ago, he lost two of his very close friends that were in their early 30s who dealt with mental health issues like my son deals with. And I asked him, I said, Anthony, I said, you know, I said, I know that was a hard decision for you to leave your friends. I said, but what do you think would have happened if you would have stayed in Springdale? And he says, Mom, I probably would have ended up like Kendrick and Willie. I would have died at an early age. So, you know, my big thing is, guys, you know, if something happened were to happen today or tomorrow to my husband and I know that he's going to be taken care of. I know that they're going to take very good care of him. And I'm not going to have to worry about him becoming a ward of the state and being thrown out on the street and ended up, you know, being homeless or anything like that, you know, because he's in a place where he can be taken care of. And they're really good to him over there. I mean, they are just super nice people. The staff is phenomenal. I can see him whenever I want. I can go get him whenever I want. I mean, it's just, you know, I was so blessed to be able to find out about this place. And they moved here. Amazing. I mean, they paid the place, Prestige, they paid to move him. I mean, he had five pieces of furniture and boxes and totes, but because his little studio apartment's not very big, so he couldn't take a lot of stuff with him. But they hired this moving company, and they moved him. My husband and I did not have to move him.
Wow.
Look, I'm having to pay people to help me move next week, so that is incredible.
I mean, the company, you know, she is the head nurse. She is the director of this program, and that's why she started this program, is to help people like my son who can't maybe get the help they need, like they can't get the Medicaid waiver for whatever reason, or they get denied the Medicaid waiver. You know, she started this program where people like Anthony can get the help that he needs without becoming homeless or you know, committing suicide or whatever. I mean, it's just such an amazing place.
Well, that's great. That is truly great.
And he got to keep his dog with him too. We didn't have to keep. He got to keep Mysterio, which that little dog is his whole entire world. I mean, that dog means everything to him. I mean, he's had him since he was 10 weeks old, and Mysterio will be 12 in October. So that's how long he's had that dog.
Wow. That's really incredible.
So that's my interesting tidbit.
Well, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful story, and we're glad to hear it. All right, Todd, what is your story for this evening?
Oh, a dozen little things, but I thought it was just kind of interesting. So there was recently a story about how a police dash cam there in Vegas picked up on some sort of falling object in the sky, you know, pseudo meteor, whatever. 911 gets a call from some local residences saying they have something in their backyard. Well, enough people had seen the things falling among the police department. One dash cam picked it up, just to be clear. And so the one guy, like, he's intrigued, you know, trying to connect the dots. So he went and checked it out. But a really good example of how do you take it, because there is absolutely no film when everybody has these high-speed cell phones. But I remember that morning, we'll go back to it, I know I posted it, man, years ago now, I guess, three. Looked up in the sky and saw something fairly early in the morning, had no idea what I was seeing, kept watching it, and then finally it clicked, holy crap, put it on film so maybe you can figure it out, you know, so grabbed a video of it. But I use that as an example if you don't always immediately think to grab your cell phone to video something. So I just thought it was interesting. It's got some decent outlets. Local news covered it there, and a couple online outlets covered it. So it's just interesting that, you know, that stuff happens. And, you know, police were interested enough after seeing things that could connect the dots to investigate, and yet we're missing the another Schrodinger's cat thing, if you will. It could be both. Could be real, could be BS, but it's just interesting timing.
Wow.
That
is certainly interesting. So now, when exactly did this happen?
I'll say within the last week.
Okay. Have you heard any
Out of Vegas, other than nothing in real detail, saying to keep it at the same high-level story about cops trusted the sincerity of the people that reported it, that kind of thing, just nobody else had anything. And, there were details in the story that changed back and forth, like, hey, something crashed in the yard, something didn't crash in the yard, whatever. So just, I imagine if you did a search, it would be pretty recent in your news feed for anybody that did it. I'm pretty sure within the last week. Hard to tell time anymore. But it's been, I don't know, 3, maybe 5 days, probably closer to 5 days ago. Just if I had to put a more accurate timeline on it.
Wow. Okay, well, thanks. That's a great story to recount. And now, Tim, are you still with us? Tim, are you still with us?
I think he had to step away for a couple of minutes, Dr. John.
Yeah. That's okay. We'll catch him the next time around. So now, what are we all doing? I want to find out what all the pop culture stars are doing this weekend. Now, this weekend, I'm going to be hosting the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference up in Burnsville, North Carolina. It's going to be kind of a wild and crazy kind of thing. We got some great speakers. We're going to be premiering. Now, this is the coolest thing, the Bigfoot Chamber of Commerce. Now, the Bigfoot Chamber of Commerce is going – now, this is great. This has to do with people. We have businesses that help support our Comic-Cons and the preservation of the Bigfoot habitat, which is the forests. So we're going to have – it's going to be very interesting. Everybody's going to get a one-year free membership. So we should have we got at least 50 new members, and I'm hoping we'll have 500 members by the end of the year, and then people will, you know, continue. Because it's like if someone does web development and they're a member of the Bigfoot Chamber of Commerce, well, if you're a member as well, you might want to ask them about web development, or you might want to ask them about, I don't know, electronics or legal services. We got a lawyer that's a member of the Bigfoot Chamber of Commerce. So it's kind of like a group of people supporting each other that all like Bigfoot. So that's going to kind of be the big news there. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we're talking about that. We got some great talks. I'm sorry, did you say something, Todd?
Oh, I was just thinking the networking part's pretty cool because I don't think people realize what a crosswalk there is for the people, the different backgrounds of the people that are at least interested in things cryptid.
Right, and there's no real support group. I mean, there's all these conferences and everything, but this is a way for people to kind of band together and enjoy. We're gonna be hosting at a variety of different cryptid events. We're gonna be hosting, you know, some meet and greets, and it's gonna be a lot of fun. And I say the purpose is fun. To support those that support Bigfoot, and this is something else to do. So we're excited about it. We got some great names here that are going to be in the Bigfoot Chamber of Commerce as brand new charter members, and we'll see how many of them renew, and we'll get more members as we move through 2023. And move into 2024. So I think it's going to be really a lot of fun. And we are all going to enjoy it. It's something good to do. It's, there'll be a Facebook page and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So it'll be kind of a neat thing to do. So that's what I'm going to be doing this weekend. And so now, Todd, what are you up to this weekend?
Before we get to that, now, is there this thing going to be open to the public, location, that kind of stuff, times, or is that more just for the Chamber of Commerce?
You know, it's for the members, but of course, if you're interested in joining, we invite you to come and enjoy one of our meet and greets. So, in essence, it's open to a lot of people, and it's, you know, it's economical the first year. It's at no cost, and then it's $5 a month. You know, just to kind of pay for, because we're going to be holding some receptions and things like that. So I thought we would try to keep it for free as long as we could, and then just charge a nominal fee. I mean, every Chamber of Commerce charges a little bit, but certainly guests can come. I mean, we always like to have guests there because they can find out the Bigfoot Chamber people. I mean, at least the ones that we've already got here are some of the nicest people in the world. They really are. They're, I think I'm friends with every single one of them. I would recommend them all highly. So, you know, if we're doing one near in an event near you, if it's Pop Culture Stars, y'all come on as my guest. So, and bring spouses or whatever. I mean, I think it's great. So it's going to function really like a regular Chamber of Commerce. And I think it's going to be a smart thing to do. And And, you know, because, like, if somebody – here's an example. There are a number of folks that are at the cryptid events, and they produce T-shirts. Well, if I want T-shirts made, then I ought to try to call one of them to tell them the same thing that I do. So that's what we're – that's the whole point. It's kind of a support group. It's a fun thing. We're going to have a monthly newsletter, and we will feature members and what they do, and I think that's a good, positive thing. So as long as it's positive, we want it part of the Bigfoot Chamber of Commerce, and that's what we got. So yeah, thanks, Todd. That was a good question, and I hope I gave an okay answer. So it's certainly open. It's like any chamber function. If you're not a member, we welcome you would come and consider joining us because it's a low price, and it's a good positive thing for the community. So that's what I've got. That's what I'm going to be doing this weekend, and we're going to be hearing lots of great speakers, headlined by Robin and Pat McCray, because they're about the best in the business. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. So now, Todd, what are you doing this weekend? You're a man of many talents and many cool things. So tell us what you're going to be up to this weekend.
Crossing my toes, fingers, toes, and eyes that Monday don't stink in rain, but I seriously hope to be able to get out and get some fishing in on Saturday, frankly, now that I'm back at a place that I love and is close to my heart. And Sunday, we'll be having a family get-together at my son's, so that'll be pretty good. He's going to deal with being the host for the Ye Olde Father's Day stuff. Kind of got to sort out menus and whatnot, but that's all right. But, yeah, definitely. I'd be happy to have Juneteenth coming up on Monday because that might get me a extra day of recovery from a two-day weekend and being able to maybe I'll catch up on some of the shrubbery trimming that is required around here. But that's about it. Trying to family fishing and honey-do list.
So you're going to have you've heard of a vacation and you've heard of a staycation. So this is a family-cation, right?
More or less.
Well, that's wonderful, and I hope you have a good time and think good thoughts about pop culture stars while you're there and mention it to at least one person. That'd be great. So we hope you have a good time. Now, Renee, what have you got planned for this weekend?
What do I have planned? Well, like I said, we've got Wrestling for a Cause on Saturday and Sunday. They've been doing this two-day event for the Ryder Herring Memorial Cup. That was the first little boy that Wrestling for a Cause ever did a show for, was for Ryder back almost 12 years ago. And we do this two-day tournament, and whoever wins the tournament in the Ryder Herring Memorial Cup gets a beautiful trophy. And then they get to choose which champion they want to face to try to take that championship belt. So David and I've got to pick up T-shirts for the promoter on Friday because the people that make the shirts for Tim, they're in Fayetteville, which is about 9 miles from where I live in Springdale. So Tim has me always pick up the merchandise for him. We are going to be heading out early Saturday morning to Tulsa, go to the show, spend the night, go to the show on Sunday, and then come home after the show. And then David he didn't realize this, but he found out today that he's actually getting Monday off with holiday pay for that Juneteenth day that they're celebrating on the 19th. So he actually will get the day off. So it makes it kind of nice because with us getting back from Tulsa so late Sunday night, he won't have to get up and go to work get ready to go to work at 4:30 in the morning on Monday. He'll have the day off. So that's what we're going to be doing.
Well, that sounds like fun. Well, I better check with Transamerica and see if I get Monday off, because now I'm taking Tuesday and Wednesday off to move. Because Granny and Todd, I don't know if y'all knew this or not, but I had a very nice lady that was renting me a condo, and she passed away. And her son called me, said, you know, John, Mom did die. She was in the hospital. You knew that. And my brother and I have decided that we've got to sell that condo because we've got some bills to pay for her, you know, for her being sick and everything. I said, really? He said, yes. So we're going to send you the obligatory letter tomorrow, but, you know, as of the first of the month, you'll have 30 days because we got to get that thing on the market. I said, well, okay. So what happened is I had to pack everything up. I had my entire parents' household and my household there in a one-bedroom condo. So I had to pack everything up. I had to move everything that I had to two storage units. And then I had to skedaddle. I couldn't find anything that I would call affordable in the Myrtle Beach area. It was just ridiculous how expensive everything was. So what I did was I found a room. I mean, here I am. I had to find a room. But my attorney and business partner, Marshall Biddle, Biddle Law Firm, he found a condo that was coming up for sale, and so he hooked me up with the owners. And so I will only have been out of pocket and out of Myrtle Beach for 90 days, but I'm going to tell you what, that 2.5 hour commute from Wilmington to Myrtle Beach will kill you. Now, it really will, so I can't wait. Next week, I'm going to have a new week off on Monday, then I'm going to be leaving Tuesday and Wednesday. It'll all be over, so just keep waiting while we're back in Myrtle Beach anyway. I'm still in Myrtle Beach tonight doing the podcast. I'm based in Myrtle Beach. So I thought I was going to be able to see finishing up our podcast here in Myrtle Beach. I got one for you in the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference. And it's going to be busy, busy, busy. But it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's pretty much what I've got going on. And now, Tim.
I'm here.
Okay, cool. We're going to do double duty tonight. First of all, I ask everybody to tell our listening audience something interesting that happened to them this week. So, you're on the hot seat.
And I'm going to apologize for starters that my daughter's lesson, her equestrian lesson, got pushed over a day. So that's why I've been in and out. I don't have much phone reception out in the boonies when I'm on my way to the stable and back. So apologize for that. Yeah, so I will say something a little interesting did happen to me. This was going back to the weekend, and we have some neighbors that shoot things because I'm outside of city limits here. But something that was a little scary, I guess, happened. I did hear some shooting. Somebody was out in their yard, somewhere around us. I'm not quite sure which neighbor it was. And later on in the day, I had finished up my honey-do list and my Tim-do list, because I'm the one who gets handled about the yard. But I happened to walk across the porch, and I found a bullet. It had been discharged, and I could see the marks that the chamber makes on it. Or not the chamber, I'm sorry, whatever your terminology would be there. So I have no idea where it came from. I texted a neighbor. He just replied with, wow, I'll be over, talk about it tomorrow. Never heard from him. Didn't hear much from any other neighbors, although I reached out about it. So that was kind of interesting. So the kids are no longer to play outside. We're going to have pretty much a air raid warning whenever we hear bullets flying. So the kids are going to be getting inside and taking cover, because I have no idea there's apparently flying bullets around my house. So that was something pretty interesting that happened to me. So what's the second piece?
You found a casing or you found a spent round?
No, I found a spent round, not the casing.
Okay, to be clear.
Yeah, that's why I was saying it had the markings. You know, like if a crime scene happens, they take it to do ballistics on it, you know, and look at the...
As it goes through, you got the turn from the twists and the barrel and all that tracking.
Yes, there you go. So that's what's on there. So it was a spent round, yes.
Yeah, that's concerning. Now, Tim, just for the record, you can take something like a .22 short... which is pretty much why it's a great farm round, all that kind of thing. It really would be classified pretty much as a sissy round, but you can get a quarter to half a mile ricochet off of water. Just saying.
Wow.
So you'd be surprised, if something like that happened, how far that could glide. But yeah, I'd be prudent too.
Yeah, and I assume it had to have been a ricochet of some sort. I don't think, because I didn't see any bullet holes. I didn't see any damage. I didn't hear anything. It's just weird how it happened to be laying right there on the porch. And, you know, we're not like in a little suburban neighborhood where it could have just been a kid dicking around throwing something on your porch to freak you out. Tree Road, the porch isn't really that accessible in that way, especially with the gate you have to go through. So, you know, it's from somewhere, and I assume it was ricocheted. I don't assume anybody was up to no good. It's just a little concerning with it being, a spent round. So, nonetheless, it was interesting. Doesn't happen every weekend.
Probably a good thing. All right, you're next up here for, I think the next up was your turn for your plans this weekend.
Oh, it's just a continuation of the to-do list around here. I won't call it the honey-do list because there's a lot of things on there that I've been wanting to get done for a while. I think up for this weekend, I'm going to try to – it won't be completely finished, but the majority of the fence that I've been putting up for over the past year is going to be put in place. I did two panels of it last week. It's a horizontal privacy fence, basically. But the tricky part is, as I go down the road, the top of it more or less stays level, even though we kind of make it taller. But just bear with me. It's for the most part, it's level across the top. And since the ground does, it grades, and so it goes down slope, I'm increasing the panels that get put onto the bottom. So as I progress through this, it takes more and more panels to complete a section. So I got that going. The typical yard work, and I did some pretty cool things last week. I replaced a spigot on a house, not trying to give praise to myself, whatever, but we've been dealing with a leaky spigot for, ever since we've moved in, really, and I was able to diagnose that it was leaking into the house in the fall, and so I kind of pulled it out, so to speak, and clamped it off and tried to put some tape around it to just rig it up so it wouldn't be, a super temporary fix. But still, the water pressure sucked, which I never totally tallied up to that. I don't know why I didn't, because I just, whatever. I just thought we had crappy water pressure. But anyway, I went to the hardware store. I finally knocked it out. I had to cut in the drywall from the other side. I replaced it. There is not a leak at all. It still freaks me out. I'm like, this is so weird. I'm used to seeing a puddle of water. That's how I know I left the spigot on, because there's a puddle of water here. Now there's nothing. So I just have a long list of things that'll take me the next summer or two to get everything done around here that I want. So just a continuation of that.
Well, that's great, Tim. You're going to be constructively busy.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well,
next is the house. I was just saying, next I'm going to build the pool house. I hope that's next on the list.
Wow. So you've got a pool there?
Yeah, it's an above ground. The brand is Kayak, and we got probably one of the smaller models. They're still pretty pricey, but it's a lot cheaper than these, you know, elaborate in-ground pools. There's no way we could have an in-ground here. So we went with the Kayak, got it financed a few years back. I think we're still paying on it, but it was something fun for the kids just to make it a little bit more appealing around here since there's not many kids. We're on like 3 acres, so we try to put as many little personal amenities out here as we can to get by. So, yep, we've got a pool. Just need a little pool house to, so I don't have to keep hauling stuff back and forth to the garage.
Wow, well, that sounds like a great project. All right, now, Tim, we're going to start and go back around with you. I want you to ask ask a question that each of the pop culture stars can weigh in on. And since you were late, you're going to get to start with the first one, a question about current events or what they're doing or whatever. So I got the first two, and so you're going to start, and then we're going to go to Granny, and then we'll go to Todd. And then I'll conclude that part of our show. And by the way, I'm going to say thank you for Transamerica Life Insurance Corporation for sponsoring this and keeping us on the air. Transamerica keeps everybody safe and provides great life insurance in times of need. If you need any Transamerica Life Insurance, give me a call, Dr. John Stamey, at 843-655-8775. All right, Tim, what would you like to ask the pop culture stars?
Ooh, what would I like to ask the pop culture stars? I want to get everybody's weigh-in on the topic that I kind of heard us starting off with, and I guess maybe you weren't going to – obviously it wasn't the whole show, but I'm real curious about this flat earth grouping. I kind of thought that you could just look at, I don't know, flight records and flight logs and, you know, determine by that the Earth is indeed a sphere. So is there really – am I missing something? Is this just some kind of philosophy group, or am I missing something? Are there still folks that want to argue that we are indeed on a flat Earth, quote, unquote?
Well, Mark, I'll weigh in first. Mark Sargent said that now that we have better – high-definition binoculars and cameras that we can now see straight across bodies of water. They did an experiment with a 40-mile-wide lake. And based on that, the drop-off should have been 8 meters squared per mile, which would be like 0.64 meters per mile. And so if you got 40 mile across lake, so plus 40 times 0.6, that'd be about 36 feet that it would drop. Well, they shot a laser from one shore to the other, and the laser showed up. It did not. There was no approximately 40-foot deep curvature of that lake if it followed the standard curvature number that we have. So that was interesting. In fact,
wait a minute. If you're aiming at something you can see with a laser, you're still aiming at something you can see, but that's a whole nother, you know.
Todd, you've kind of hit the nail on the head. There are very few people that are really experts at physics, optics, and everything else. I mean, in fact, it was said on the show that there's just a tiny number of people are in the physics clubs and colleges and things like that, and so many more people don't know anything about this. But basically, it should have been that over 40 miles, there should have been some curvature of the Earth, and they shot a laser straight from
right.
One
now, let's do this. Let's put at the other end of that lake, let's put a old-school schooner, you know, mast and sails and stuff like that, and put it there, how much of that schooner do you see? But you're going to see, yeah, it's, you know, what you see is still a straight, feels like a straight line because we don't feel the earth moving, and yet it is.
I think that it's perhaps there's a little too much.
That's true, Todd. Yes, Tim.
You're taking the light for granted there, I think, because what you have to consider, and no, I'm not an optics either, but you know, light can bend and light can reflect, and I'd be willing to bet if it's a body of water, you've got some kind of mist or some type of saturation or humidity, if you will, and I'd be curious to know if any kind of study's been done on, you know, if that can be impaired. In other words, if the light can actually be somehow, I don't know if bend's the right word, I don't know if reflected just right, but it makes me wonder if there's something that could actually warp that beam of light to where you're not getting a true representation. Just a
okay,
thought.
And I'm going to comment on that, but I'll tell you that this lake was frozen. They did it over a frozen lake to minimize the amount of humidity and everything. But when you're talking about bending light.
That's kind of cool.
Let's talk about bending air. Does anybody know why a plane goes off the ground? Why does a plane actually take off? Does anybody know that? And I found that out today, and it was very interesting. Are you aware that air if you think about a plane's wing, it is curved at the top and flat at the bottom. And
okay, now you're talking about laminar airflow, a laminar style wing, which was developed with the P-51, but sure, keep going.
And the fact is that air tends to fly across a curved surface faster than it does a straight surface. And so there's less resistance, and that's why a plane goes off the ground. And I didn't know that until today, and I checked it out. God knows I went to Wikipedia. But that's what it said, and that's the principle of how an airplane flies, is that the air, it moves across the curved surface on the top of a wing faster, and because it does, there's less resistance, and it gets pushed up into the air. And that, you know, that's something I learned today from Mark Sargent, and I verified it with Wikipedia. Oh, my Lord. You know, everybody would be upset because I used Wikipedia, but there's a lot of correctness on Wikipedia, and I'm going to say that. So anyway, that was just, you know, just another one of those things. I am very interested in this argument, and I've got an appointment with Mark Sargent this weekend. I'm going to talk with him for about an hour about some of these physics questions, and I'm going to talk to some friends of mine that are in the physics business at colleges and universities, and I'm going to start trying to get some of these answers because I find it very interesting. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of independent investigation and talking to scientists. In fact, I think that's a good thing, and I'll hopefully be able to report here in a month or two what I've found out. But I just think it's neat. And so I learned why a plane flies. I didn't know that, and many of you listening might not have known that as well. So, you know, it's good for the soul to get educated, I believe. So Tim, did I help your case there, or did I confuse you? And Todd had some good input, and so what do you think? How about your question? Was it adequately answered, or did we talk about it, or what did we leave out?
I think that's decent, but I guess I just can't help. I would think there are more counterpoints than points. I'd like to think of a good analogy. I see what you're saying, and I see that, but to me it's on such a small scale. They're trying to prove something large by using a small sample, if you will. I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but I'm going to go back.
They got the same result as the Great Salt Lake several years later, and Mark is going to get me copies of those scientific papers. And I will disseminate those. In fact, I will get those to you and Granny and to Todd. And go, yeah, well,
I just think, again, I think it's interesting. So let's, at least we can explore it a little bit. And we can try to figure out if we think it's right or wrong. Does that sound good enough?
Sure. I tell you what, if you could just talk to commercial airlines into using, because right now they don't use Euclidean geometry when they're doing a transoceanic flight. Get the two of them, or get two flights, same destination, do one doing the so-called Euclidean geometry straight line, and let the other one go ahead and use the curvature of the Earth, where they'll go further north on their flight path, that kind of thing, and come back down to minimize the time and see how that works. Just a thought.
Well, now, again, that's a very reasonable thought, Todd, and I like that. And what I want to do is I would like to try to get some maps that show the actual path of airlines and see. And I mean, and Mark said, you know, you can get those. It may take a little work, but you can get them. And I'd like to get them. I want to explore some of this because, again, it's good, reasonable science, and it's great to learn. So, you know, we'll see. We'll come up with our own conclusions because we'll get evidence, and we won't try to back anything up. We'll try to just find out what reality is. So that's kind of like my approach.
And you should. Believe it or not, one of the most reasoned arguments I ever heard was from an old TV show, The Saint. And I'm paraphrasing here, but it said, suspend what you think you know and take into consideration what else might be possible. It may not be, but take it into consideration.
Now, are you talking about that show, The Saint, starring Roger Moore? Oh, my God, that was my favorite television show growing up. Because, now, I didn't see it in prime time or anything, but they used to play The Saint reruns on Channel 14 in Hickory. And, oh, my God, I mean, my parents would get so upset you could barely see it for all the fuzz. That's back when we had antennas and stuff like that. I just loved it. That's when I thought, that's when I became such a Roger Moore fan, and then he became 007. I was so excited, you know? He was the bomb, I thought. And there's no movie like Octopussy. There is no movie like Octopussy. And his buddy had a homing device in his chest. And his buddy had a homing device in his chest. And they served the dinner. And they served Roger Moore the piece of meat that had the homing device. It was actually, they had carved up his buddy and were serving him for dinner. He said, I just don't have any appetite. That was like the coolest statement in a Bond movie I ever saw. That's even better than Mr. Bond, You Are Going to Die. But I mean, it was just great. But yeah, The Saint. Where did you see that? Was that like on YouTube or something?
It was at the time. It was on Amazon. Actually, I think they were running it, but now you got to pay for them or whatever. I'm hoping it'll come back on freebie or something. But yeah, I got to watch a bunch of the seasons on that. And interestingly enough, but just one of the characters on the show, when Roger Moore made The Saint booked into a hotel room as James Bond, one of the other the guests that he was helping, one of the guest stars, if you will, was actually the guy that played Felix Leiter in Live and Let Die, Roger Moore's debut as James Bond. So it was just interesting how that all tied together.
Oh, wow, that's great. Thanks for sharing that with us. I think that is something very, very interesting. There was an old show called The Prisoner with Patrick, what's his name, and it was just so weird, and it only lasted for 13 weeks, and
they had to take it off the air because it just was not very popular. But I always thought it was kind of weird and fun. But anyway, yeah, they're great, great memories. Roger Moore as the Saint. I always thought he was the ultimate spy, and I always enjoyed those shows on Channel 14 with all the snow and all that. And my parents just had to go away and go downstairs and do laundry or something because they said, well, we can't see this. But I just loved it. It was great. Well, Todd, thanks for those memories. And Tim, thanks for that great question. And now I'm going to ask.
I didn't hear Grammy chime in on that.
Well, you know, Todd, I really wasn't too informative on what, you know, Tim was asking about, so I didn't feel like I could really properly answer anything what he was talking about. And, I mean, I remember The Saint being on TV, but, you know, I mean, I didn't watch a lot of it, but I do remember it, you know, being on, you know, because, I mean, I'll be 61 in August, so I'm not even sure when that program actually debuted, but, you know. But I do remember it, so.
Well,
all right, and let me throw this out there. Dr. John, when you're mucking about with aerodynamics and stuff on planes, pay attention to how they have to contour a supersonic aircraft's body.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be learning a lot.
There's little things on that. Like it has a, around where the wings come in, there's a bit of a Coke bottle effect. Not as dramatic by all means, but there is a bit of one.
Okay. I will make sure to take note of that because I'm going to learn a little bit about aerodynamics thanks to Mark Sargent of the Flat Earth Society. It's going to be fun. I mean, it's great. It's something good to do with my spare time, all 10 minutes of it a day and all that. So anyway, yeah, well, again, Tim, thanks. Great question. I'm going to turn it over to Todd and then Granny. So, Todd, what do you have for us? What would you like to ask the collective knowledge of the pop culture stars?
Okay, this one has puzzled me for decades. So if anybody could provide the answer, it'd be cool. If a sheep is a ram and a donkey is an ass, why is the ram and the ass a goose?
I'm sorry, could you please repeat that slowly?
If a sheep is a ram and a donkey is an ass, why is a ram in the ass a goose?
Wow.
And it's actually a joke. I'll just wait till it sinks in.
I'm going to say I am not. That is above my pay grade for me.
Go for it, Tim. I want to hear your answer.
I would have to say, since I concur or I'm listening to Todd saying it's a joke, I would just have to think that it's almost rhetorical in nature, if you will. So
pseudo, it's I don't think it's even an expression anymore, but if you used to goose a woman.
Right.
That's kind of what it is. It's a ram in the ass. That's a goose.
Okay.
But no, I would strongly suggest it's amazing. We learned so much. I think there's just a million things I'm kind of going to go with. You know, it's like constantly learning stuff. I keep, seems like in the last couple of years, there's been these articles about great white sharks showing up with the carcass partially devoured. And then they found out that the pattern was their liver's missing and it's killer whales that are taking out the great whites, you know, the top of the line predator, and it's getting taken out by the wolf of the oceans, the seas. Just interesting. I mean, you know, people are acting like it's a big deal, but it's been information for decades that great whites will do it, but it's just kind of a shock, or people becoming more aware or whatever. That, I strongly suggest you have your own attention span and pay attention to things, because something, you know, the press likes to throw, I feel like they're the biggest bait and switch people in the world, so have your own attention span. Just saying.
Okay. All right, sir. Well, that was a good one. You goosed us all on it, didn't you? Oh, God, that was the world's worst dad joke. Granny Hulkster, what have you got to ask the pop culture stars?
Well, you know, I have been so busy the last several months, I really haven't been up too much on current events. But I did find something interesting, and I don't know, you know, sometimes when I go over to Oklahoma, I would use, you know, drive on the turnpike. Well, here lately in Oklahoma, they've pretty much done away with people taking the money at the toll booth. And it says, you know, just keep on moving, you know, you will be billed, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I got this invoice for, well, it was, let's see, I had four charges at $5.70 a piece. So I actually, you know, called the Oklahoma, you know, turnpike people, and I said, okay, I said, why did the rate go up from $3.25 to plate pay for $5.70? Well, they're wanting people to purchase the pike pass. And surprisingly enough, this, when you purchase a pike pass, you set up an account for $40. For this pike pass, you stick the little sticker thing on your window where they tell you to put it, and they actually credited that $40 that I had in that pike pass account, which reduced the amount of the toll charges down to like half, like $2.80, I think it was. So, you know, so I have this pike pass now, and I said, well, why are they doing that? They said, well, eventually it's going to take place in every single state. Apparently the government does not want people working in the toll booth, you know, taking money. They want everybody to buy these pike passes. Because, see, when I went to Texas last year with my friend, when David and I went with our friend from New York for WrestleMania, I mean, that was the first time I had driven in Dallas. I had no clue where I was going. I had no clue about their roads. And I actually accidentally got on an express pike pass thing, or pike, you know, turnpike thing, an express turnpike. And so I didn't realize I was on it, for one thing. Well, my friend got an invoice like 4 or 5 months later for, I forget the charges, it was 20-some-odd dollars, or it was $25, $23, I forget what it was. Well, I went ahead and paid it. So I asked the people from Oklahoma, I said, why did they do this? And they said, well, they want people to, you know, not, you know, they want people to get this pike pass. So now, you know, when I go to Oklahoma this weekend, I'm going to see if the pike pass sticker is actually in the right place, because their selling instructions were very clear. So I'm hoping I put it on my window right, but, you know, I guess I'll find out if I, you know, whatever. But I just went, you know, what do you all think about that? Because they said this is going to be a government thing. The government is wanting, like, all states that do toll roads to pretty much get away from.
And why do you think that is?
This is Dr. John, and I can tell you exactly why. They want to know where everyone is.
Keep in mind, some of these are actually owned by, amazingly enough, other countries are building the roads and taking some of the money. But why do you think they're really, really doing it?
So they can keep track of where we are?
Probably. That's what I was
thinking.
That's
exactly right. That's why they are using your own tax dollars to spy on you. They will go to all these things to keep different information on you for the public domain information, and they will buy that so they can have it. So they're using your own tax dollars to track you. Just thought I'd throw it, but absolutely, that's part of the reason is they're going to tell you it's more cost effective for them, and it probably is, but they can definitely track the bejesus out of you.
Well, I guess if I start using the alternate route and not take the turnpike, I don't go into a lot of states, you know, that have turnpikes that much. And, you know, I mean, like I said, when we went to Texas, I didn't even realize I was on that express turnpike, you know, because the signs were not very clearly marked, for one thing. And people in Dallas, they drive like maniacs because you turn on your turn signal to try to get off at an exit, and people won't let you over there to get off the exit that you need to get off of. So, you know, it was just kind of, you know, it was just kind of weird, you know, but I noticed that, you know, like I said, I told David, I said, what's the deal here, you know? And sure enough, you know, I got like, almost 2 months later, I got my first invoice with like four charges, and then I got, you know, I had two more charges on there, but they reduced the prices and they just deducted it from that Pike Pass account, you know, which made it a little bit cheaper. So I still have like $23.20 left to use up before I have to pay for another $40. But, you know, so I just thought that was kind of interesting, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, man. I got to tell you, in 2 years' time, roughly 2 years, the tunnels in the Smokies, they jumped roughly 40%. You go through an area, I forget the route number, it goes through some tunnels in the Smokies. I think if you're generically southbound, you hit the first one, you're in West Virginia. When you go in, you come out, you're in Virginia proper. And I think that's generally fairly close to where some of those went. And keep in mind, those roads through the Smokies, they definitely take some effort to keep up. But those, the rates on the pike there, they had jumped 40% in roughly 2 years.
Wow.
They went from like 3.25 to 5.25 or 550, some shit.
Well, not only is it a way to track you, but it's a way to take your money.
Best of both worlds.
All right, Todd, that's a great answer to Granny's observation. Tim, do you have anything to add?
I think that I could concur with what I guess all of you have said, but I don't know if it's necessarily to the extent of what you might be thinking. I have a feeling the data is probably being aggregated and used for some type of research to figure out areas of road that might be traveled greater than others. I think a couple of different things. If you're thinking like the Men in Black or whatever are keeping tabs on where you're at, it's hard to do that with your phone. And also, I don't think that they care what billions of people are doing at any given point in time. So I would agree they're using it to track data. but I think it's being aggregated and used for research and figuring out, you know, where issues might lie, things like that. Other point I was going to make about it is kind of a guess, really. I'd have to, you know, do research. Anything I say is just kind of a guess. But my thought is probably, if you think about it, if those booths are manned by personnel, well, they're going to be making an hourly wage. So that's an hourly wage you got to pay to every single person that's manning those things to pay for, think of the mechanical equipment that could fail. And I guarantee the use those things have, and I'm sure it's just a gigantic coin sorter that keeps tabs on whichever. But still, when those things are being used, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of times a day, they're going to wear down. They're going to break down. I think there's ways to, you had like the automated machines, but they would still take exact change. So kind of like a what-if scenario, and I'm sure a lot of people were getting off the hook there. So I have a feeling that it's also just going to save dollars as far as whatever the, whoever's flipping the bill for that kind of keep up and maintenance. I think that going to a system like this is probably going to be a lot cheaper to maintain.
Oh, that's going to be the primary excuse. But again, it, like you said, Dr. John brought that up, best of both worlds. It's easier tracking, cheaper.
Well, yeah. here's the deal.
Yeah, I really hope they are leveraging some of that information for tracking, you know, volume of traffic. Does that mean we need maintenance more often on the roads? Oh, boy, that's an exciting idea, more road construction.
Todd, that's all we've got now is road construction. I mean, every road that I go on is being constructed or deconstructed or whatever. I know. But I don't know.
We could be in Philly. Jim will tell you, I know within the last 5 years, we had a pretty big tanker truck fire on the loop there in the Indy area. And it did not go as bad as the one in Philly just went that caused the bridge collapse.
Wow. Well, that's good that it didn't. It's good that it didn't. Well, I tell you what, it's been fun being at the helm of Pop Culture Stars with you guys. Dave Atwell will be back next week. I'll probably be back. Now, this weekend I got North Carolina Bigfoot Conference. I'll be tied up. But it's been a lot of fun to talk to my friends, to talk to Granny, to talk to Todd, and to talk to Tim. It's been awesome. And I'll say, on behalf of everybody, have a nice night and keep the stars just a-shining. Now, I want everybody to say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. And, Tim, thank you. My son really enjoyed his gift, by the way.
Awesome. Cool.
Goodbye.
Good.
Have a good night.
Bye, everybody. Good night.